back with Ali C.
Each and every show, right off of the bat, we talk to Talk Radio News, their finest, Victoria Jones, for the inside scoop on what's going on inside the Beltway. Victoria, of course, the president was in Ireland. Now he's in kind of your old stomping grounds. What's the schedule for the Prez in this European leg?
Yes, he was in Ireland today and did, in fact, drink a pint of Guinness when he was in Moneygall, his ancient historic town whence his great-great-great-grandfather came. Well, tomorrow, Tuesday, he will have lunch with Her Majesty the Queen, along with the First Lady, after participating in an arrival ceremony, and he will also tour Westminster Abbey and participate in a wreath-laying ceremony. That's the kind of thing that the British really appreciate. He'll also go to 10 Downing Street, meet with leaders, and then he will attend a state dinner hosted by Her Majesty the Queen. So it's a very big day, but the even bigger day, in one sense, is going to be Wednesday, and we'll talk about this also tomorrow, because that's when he's addressing a joint session of Parliament and is holding a press conference. And this is a big deal, because not that many leaders do, and he may say some slightly controversial things if he does talk about the future of the Middle East, and the British press, when he takes questions from them, are fairly tough.
Yeah, okay, we look forward to that, to see what happens there. You're right. Thanks for that preview. There's a lot of shenanigans of a different sort, or fireworks, or whatever you want to call it. You were telling me off the air, as far as the budget resolution is concerned, that same old tug of war. What happened as far as that's concerned starting off the week?
Well, a couple of things. Very interesting. Democrats are sharpening their attacks today. Senate leader Harry Reid is planning a vote Thursday, we believe, on the Republican budget proposal. And he gave quite a strong Senate speech today, saying that the Republican plan would break our promise to the elderly and sick, turn seniors' health to profit-hungry insurance companies, and let bureaucrats decide what tests and treatments seniors get. Now, we know the polls show the proposal is disliked, particularly among independents and the elderly. So Democrats want to put Senate Republicans on the record on the proposal. And today, Republican Senator Scott Brown, who said that he was going to vote for the plan, then said he didn't know what he was going to do, now publishes an op-ed in Politico saying he's going to vote against it. And then Senator Jeff Sessions today threw some bombs. He, the Senate Budget Committee ranking member, threatened to derail the planned budget resolution vote, as well as the Memorial Day recess, to protest Democrats' lack of a budget plan.
You never know what you're going to get. It's like a box of Cracker Jacks, I swear. How fun it is for you, isn't it, covering this every day?
It's crazy.
It is crazy. Victoria Jones, you're not crazy. You're our insider, and thanks so much, as always, for Talk Radio News, for coming on America Tonight.
Thank you so much.
All right, so we started out that conversation with Victoria Jones talking about Obama and where he was headed, going to the UK and addressing Parliament, and then, of course, what was happening on the Hill. As you know, I'm fond of saying here on ATN, it's all about water cooler buzz, and what happens in the nation's capital affects all of us. One thing that I think has really ripped through this land is what's going on with these tornadoes. You can't tell me that this isn't heavy, heavy conversation. First, the disaster in Alabama less than a month ago, 250 people dead in Alabama, plus the other states, over 300. Now you have rescuers who are still looking for survivors. We were talking about that as it was unfolding last time we met on the air. So 116, that's the official number. At this point, they think it's going to be much higher in the end than that. How sad, especially Joplin, Missouri, where so many houses were toppled, cars overturned, people just in the wrong place in the path of huge, huge twisters. You never really heard the word tornado, somebody was saying today. I happened to see a clip somewhere in Joplin. We didn't hear about tornadoes that much, not in Joplin. So we're going to get to that and fill you in on how those people are faring and what's going on there and the mighty Mississippi and the fight there. 5,000 people plus displaced at this point. It's not looking real good as the rushing waters are still flooding out. Who knows? They might have to open another spillway or two. There's already been three. Plus, at the tail end of the hour, We Can Count. Part of We Can Count will include, you're going to love this, why housework is bad for both sexes. It makes sense to me, doesn't it? But who can afford to hire a maid, right? Because you're exhausted when you come back from your job, and if you're a woman and you've got the burden of whatever, are you making dinner, cleaning up, working a full-time job? And the same thing for a guy. He comes home, you've commuted maybe 45 minutes each way. So I think it's pretty obvious that the reason people don't want to do housework is because they're exhausted and they want to unwind, and there's not that much time. But what are the exact numbers for that interesting survey? I've got them for you. Also, Liz Taylor's house is for sale, and I was kind of surprised at the amount they're asking for Liz Taylor's house. To be honest, I'm not going to tell you what it is because it'll come up in that segment, but it's a lot less than I would have expected. I know she was the grand dame of a different era, but still there are plenty of those people alive, I think, that would just be all over Liz Taylor's house. And maybe I'm completely wrong in it, and maybe they are asking a lot of money. And I mentioned the spillways being opened. Just take a guess at how much the spillway flood, the man-made flood, will cost in the end. It's a staggering, staggering amount. Staggering. Coming up around the bend, though, on America Tonight, we talk about school lunches and kids. You know, I remember when I was in school, I'm sure all of you remember when you went through and you got a hot lunch, or maybe you just brown bagged it. I sort of did a little bit of both. In elementary school, we had like hot dog days and spaghetti days and special days, but not too much with the hot lunches. High school, it was all about the hamburger and fries and whatever else was being served up. And nobody really looked twice at your choices and if you had soda or whatever you had. Now the pendulum has swung completely in the opposite direction. But at what cost? At what cost? It sounds funny to say that, but seriously, there is a cost to that, into swinging in the opposite direction. And that's what we're going to talk about coming up. The fact that it's almost like the spy game, sadly, for too many kids across the nation. I get the trend of lack of exercise, and I get that you don't want all completely, you know, junk food to be amazingly available. That's not all the kids eat. But we're turning into such a nation of sissies. Sometimes, you know what? It's about parenting. Not so much about the school controlling that part of the game. Because don't you teach your kids this at home? Don't you let them have some treats and then have them eat healthy food? Isn't there a balance? This is what we're missing. We go from one extreme to the other so often in so many things that we're talking about. So now with school lunches, we've gone a completely different direction. And I, for one, think it's just a little bit too much. That's the combo on the flip side. Hang with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
When making important financial decisions, you should always know the facts. That's why Midas Resources is willing to pay you to read the facts. Midas Resources, a team of hand-picked financial specialists with decades of financial experience who are ready to provide you with state-of-the-art, up-to-date financial services. Midas Resources offers a host of services and stands behind their products. In fact, if you call and order their free Midas report, Midas Resources will pay you. This detailed report will provide you with financial history on the safest and most profitable areas to invest in. If you read the report, Midas Resources will send you a free Walking Liberty Silver Hat Dollar. So what are you waiting for? Get the facts and call Midas Resources toll-free at 888-292-2709. That's 888-292-2709. And remember, if you read the Midas Report, you'll receive a free Walking Liberty Silver Hat Dollar.
GCN listeners, why have you been hearing so much about Dermatol, the all-natural, all-purpose first aid spray? Because it's the must-have first aid product you need in your preparedness kit. Dermatol is made in America by Americans who know there's a more affordable, natural way to treat cuts, burns, bites, rashes, shingles, boils, and many other skin problems. Dermatol is gentle enough for diaper rash, powerful enough for bed sores, and harmless to the eyes and mouth. It's great for the whole family, even your family pets. Dermatol is antimicrobial, antifungal, antiviral, and not diminished by freezing, extreme heat, or years in storage. Dermatol is an absolute must for any first aid or preparedness kit. Dermatol's soothing, rapid restoration of injured skin is so effective, it's guaranteed. Order yours today. Call 800-217-6677. 800-217-6677. That's 800-217-6677. Efficient, economical, effective. Spray it all with Dermatol.
So I was just talking about lunch trays and what it was like when we were growing up, where, yeah, you might have had an extra hot dog or a cookie or, oh, geez, we had chocolate milk. Now in a lot of places they don't even offer chocolate milk. Well, joining us now is Julie Gunlock, and she did an interesting blog about the city of San Antonio, and I was stunned when I read this. Do you know they've gotten a grant of $2 million from the Department of Agriculture to analyze kids' lunch trays? Seriously, analyze kids' lunch trays, that money, and to look for the amount of calories each one of those children take in every day. Remember I said that thing about spy? How crazy, how insane is this from many different perspectives? Julie, thanks for popping on ATN.
Thanks for having me on.
So were you as stunned as I was, obviously, because you wrote about it, but when you saw that figure, $2 million, and this is what the U.S. Department of Agriculture is pitching money toward, how crazy?
It was totally crazy. When I read it, I thought it was an Onion article because I'm telling you, I can do this for free. I'm happy to do this for the schools of San Antonio, Texas. I'll tell you exactly what's going to happen. Kids are going to eat the yummy stuff that has more calories, and they're going to leave vegetables and leafy greens. So I'm willing to do it for free. There, I did it.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, you're absolutely right. If they wanted to do that, plus I bet you could, if nothing else, do it for a lot less money.
Yeah, and I think the idea here is that they're trying to, track what kids are eating and sort of establish how much nutrition they're getting. But what was really depressing, the main thing that was depressing about the story was that 90% of parents in the school district gave permission for the school to take pictures of their kids' lunch tray. And I just don't understand that compliance. I don't understand why parents are okay with this. I think that this is an intrusion, and I really wish that parents would sort of recoil from that kind of government intrusion.
Yeah, I agree with you. So that's what they're doing. They're taking a photograph of it. Then what happens?
Yeah, so the idea is the kid goes through the lunch line, and then I guess before he pays for his lunch, a camera takes, he sort of slides it through this, you know, this camera, and it takes a photo. And then afterwards, when he's turning his tray in, it takes another photo, and then someone analyzes these photos. I mean, I wonder how much that guy's getting paid. He analyzes these photos to determine what's being left on the trays. But, I mean, you know, this just is emblematic of this obsessive culture that we have with what kids are eating and school lunches. And, I mean, you know, I think parents, and frankly, if governments are so concerned about what kids are eating, they should really encourage parents to pack their kids a lunch.
Yeah, see, that's what I said. Then it should be a parental thing. I am as stunned as you are by that number, 90% of the parents giving permission for that. So the school's principal, he wasn't worried, right?
No, and the funny thing is the principal who was asked about that, you know, that crazy remaining 10%, those holdouts, he was asked about them, and the school official said, oh, you know, they just don't understand what we're trying to do here. You know, well, that's fine. They may not understand, but really maybe they're just thinking the school should stick to what schools should stick to, which is teaching kids things like reading, writing, arithmetic, and not poking around in what kids eat. I wrote about another incident last year in Great Britain where teachers were actually opening kids' lunch sacks, the ones that they had packed from home, and they would take a picture of it, and then they would analyze it. And if the parents hadn't packed a healthy enough or nutritious enough meal, they would send a note home with the child saying, you know, those blueberries didn't look fresh enough, or those, you know, that sandwich had too much mayonnaise on it. So, you know, at that time, I remember writing about that, and I thought, oh, gosh, this will never happen in the U.S., but it looks like this is coming.
Oh, that it is very frightening to me. Now, the cameras, I think you wrote about this as well. How big are the cameras?
Oh, they're small. I mean, I saw one picture of them. I don't think they're it kind of looks like a little mini X-ray. I think it's just set above the line. I think it's an automatic thing. When they slide the tray through, it sort of clicks a quick picture. It doesn't take a picture of the child, so the children aren't identified. And again, I think the thing they're trying to do is identify trends. But I just don't think this is, I mean, you know, this isn't rocket science here. I mean, we kind of know what kids are eating on the lunch tray, and we kind of know what they're leaving.
Yeah, absolutely. And here's the thing. So this is what they're getting. This is what's happening at lunch. But how do you know what happens the rest of the day? What about snacking at night or the morning? How would that determine that much as far as obesity rates and whatnot?
Yeah, it's this need to find the magic bullet. What is going to reduce obesity? And you know, to be honest with you, what you don't hear nowadays is that the obesity rates for children have remained steady for 10 years. They haven't risen. And so, you know, you hear this epidemic, oh, everybody's getting fat, everybody's the obesity rates are increasing. But in fact, they've really remained, they've leveled off. And you know, fine, we can try to make school lunches more nutritious. But you nailed it when you said, well, what are they eating when they're home? I mean, it is a small... It's one of their meals. It's not every meal. And so, you know, unless we're going to regulate what kids are, you know, are they stopping off at a convenience store on the way home and getting a bag of chips? I mean, we're going to start regulating every aspect of people's lives, because really that's the only way. I mean, that, you know, if we're really going to totally control what people are eating, then we have to do it outside the schools as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Of all the things where you could take a picture of whatever's happening in school, which I would think, you know, we talked about the parents and how they gave consent. If you're a parent, I would think the less intrusion, that kind of technology or intrusion with your children, because what do you think the kids are talking about? Of course. What do you think they're talking about with these photographs? I'm sure some of them are just hooting it up and, you know, laughing about, well, whatever.
Yeah. Well, you know, this research has already been done. I mean, you know, the USDA can hand out $2 million grants all it wants to, but all they really need to do is read a GAO report, which actually studied, did interviews with the so-called lunch ladies, and found out that what kids are throwing out are the vegetables and leafy greens, and they're eating things like the chocolate milk and the cake and the cookies and, you know, their sandwiches and things like that. So, I mean, you know, what drives me crazy is this overlap and duplication we constantly see in the federal government where, you know, this has already been researched. The General Accounting Office has already looked into this. We have the answers. We know what kids are eating. And yet here comes another $2 million grant to study this stuff. So, you know, the General Accounting Office is there to do this type of research. It doesn't seem like any of their reports are being read.
Yeah, no kidding. And if we're trying to save money, and obviously you know where we are with the deficit and everything else that's happening, and hey, in the great state of Texas, the problems that are happening as well with education and the battles about the finances, geez, there's a lot of different directions you could take that money and use it for. I know it's specifically earmarked from the U.S. Department of Agriculture, but still, I know there are better uses for that money, don't you think?
There are, and you know, frankly, you know, I don't think we should be spending that kind of money, period. I mean, that, I think the best place for that kind of money is sending it back to the Treasury because, you know, we are supposed to be cutting programs that are unnecessary, and I certainly don't think that, you know, a $2 million grant to pictures of lunch trays is really vital to the national interest. I really, you know, I don't think you have to be, you know, I think most people, even big government people, could agree that that seems a little wasteful.
Yep, I agree with you, absolutely. Julie, it's been a delight speaking with you. If people want to read more of the stuff that you're writing, where can they catch it?
We are at www.iwf.org with all of our policy papers and op-eds are on there. But we have a great blog called The Inkwell where we track all the latest news, and it comes right up when you go to iwf.org.
All right, Inkwell. Thanks so much, Julie. You take care.
Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome. So interesting. It is like a nanny state, as I said, no exaggeration. And why are we spending this money? Why should we spend the money in the first place? But spending the money for that, and she really nailed it when she said, listen, the lunch ladies have already said this. They've done studies on this before. It's pretty easy to find out what the kids are eating. What do you think they're leaving on their trays? It's, to me, it means justification that somebody has some kind of a project and this is where the money gets shoveled toward. Well, let's do this. Let's look at this, and then this goes into what we've been talking about with kids and the movement to end obesity with children, childhood obesity. So here's the project. We're going to photograph the lunches. I can't even imagine. The neighborhood that I grew up in, the school that I went to, oh, the hooting and the hollering that would go on. Who knows what they'd be taking photographs of? I think there'd be a lot of kids in detention, frankly, for what they would probably put on their lunch trays. Meet me on the flip side for little odds and ends.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic, and as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable, patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver, that's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver, utopiasilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com, taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
You know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health, and most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of most alkaline minerals available. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins and acid, helping you to regain your energy and health. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body to rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen, and raises the pH of your body to optimal levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
If you drive for a living, you don't get paid to stop or wait in line. Keep your wheels moving with PrePass. Bypass weigh stations. Fly by port of entry facilities. Stay moving at highway speed while the guy without PrePass waits in line. Save time, save money. Call 888-401-PASS to try PrePass free. That's 888-401-PASS.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
Where can you find a super strength supplement for thyroid health and thyroid protection? Right here at ThyroidKI.com. Thyroid KI is a super strength potassium iodide supplement formulated to support optimal thyroid health and protection. Thyroid KI is made with only high-grade ingredients and is independently tested for purity. The potassium iodide found in Thyroid KI is absorbed by the thyroid and may offer maximum protection against radioactive iodine exposure. At only $19.90 for a 30-day supply, Thyroid KI is independently tested for purity and is formulated in convenient 32.5 milligram tablets for easy administration in children and adults. Visit Thyroid KI. That's thyroid, the letter K, the letter I.com. ThyroidKI.com. Use coupon code GCN for a 10% discount. Again, mention coupon code GCN for 10% off your order. Call 855-599-9444. 855-599-9444. Again, that's 855-599-9444 for Thyroid KI today.
Welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. As I said, this is kind of odds and ends. And I like to do this once an hour on America Tonight because there is so much water cooler buzz. And we could stick with the same thing and hammer it over and over again. And we have had many a show where we have done that because we just can't help ourselves, and neither can you, America, because you're so fixated on whatever it is that has just overwhelmed us. And we could say we feel that way about the people who have now survived yet more twisters with another high death toll in Missouri. It's unbelievable to me. They're still trying to find survivors who were hit by lightning. And really, what people were saying is because so many were trapped and didn't think they were going to make it. So you're trapped. Put yourself in this situation. You're trapped under a bunch of heavy equipment, and you're maybe not so much injured, but you're pinned. You can't move. And you know that there's devastation all around you, and who knows if anyone's going to find you. What are you doing? Are you going through photographs in your mind of your life? Is that all flashing around you? Are you saying prayers? A lot of people that were in that situation were praying through that tornado, and then those that were trapped were saying that's exactly what they were doing. Just please give me another day. Please give me, you know, a chance to see my family, and not even knowing if their family was there. That's how bad it was, because the the tornado was so wide, same thing that you heard in Alabama. In an instant, you had several tornadoes on top of people. And the scariest thing of all, still to me, and I know I've already said this, was that hospital where you have only a handful of nurses, think about it, on every floor. And what you have to do is quickly get patients into the hallway and try to get them out of the hospital, actually, but at least into the hallway, because you know or you've been told that a tornado is headed right to the hospital. You don't know if it's going to hit it. You don't know what's going to happen. And then on the upper floor, sure enough, the winds were high enough that the glass blew in. So you could have had people, you know, windows blown out, gurneys tossed up to five blocks away. You had 183 patients, 200 staff members that had to be evacuated. And the true, telltale sign, those x-rays. So you have your x-rays somewhere in the clutter, who knows where. They found some in driveways 70 miles away from Joplin, Missouri. And it was just a lazy, easy going night on Sunday at St. John's Regional Medical Center until all hell broke loose. And patients who were maybe eating a little dinner, watching some tube, were right in the path of a tornado. Typically, when you think of the hospital, that's where you're taking people, not getting them out as fast as possible. And people describe parts of Joplin, southwest Joplin, Missouri, like a bomb just went off. That's it. Mangled cars tossed about, parking lots unrecognizable, a medical helicopter smashed away from the landing pad. Because, of course, the winds are going to pick up anything at all. You know, it's eerie, too. There's always some story about something that survived. Like they had a giant cross out in the front, undamaged. And the hospital was pretty much the only thing that was left standing. Even though there was damage, it still was standing. And the great news is that they were so quick to help as many people as they could, to just get them out, set up triage centers, do whatever you can, anything to get them out of that hospital. So of all the people that died in this horrible twister, it wasn't any of the people at this hospital where it could have been exactly that. You know, you hear those sirens. I know a lot of people listening to America Tonight that live in the flyover states know what I mean. I've lived in several places in the Midwest. My first experience with the tornado siren was Kearney, Nebraska. And I didn't know much about tornadoes because I grew up on the coast, so it was more about hurricanes. In fact, sure, I watched The Wizard of Oz and had seen pictures of tornadoes and stuff, but never was near a tornado. Now I'm in the belly of the beast. And you heard those sirens go off, and that's exactly, they told me, when you hear that siren go off, you're out of the newsroom. You have no idea. That's what it's about. And it could be close. It could be far. It's a warning. But that's what happened. The siren was nonstop going off once it was hit, but not a lot of warning. And that's what happens with tornadoes. So with St. John surviving, you have the structural engineers who are trying to evaluate that hospital. Something kept it up. Something definitely kept it up, and they look to see if how much damage is really done a little bit deeper into it. But how about that? The x-rays strewn about randomly in people's driveways. You could, you know, wake up, go out to your car, and someone's femur is laying there. It's an x-ray of somebody. And you have gurneys that were just five blocks away. But no people, none of those patients, none of that staff killed as a result of those tornadoes, which is the good news. So certainly that's part of odds and ends, because it was a bitter end for some, and it was odd that others survived when they were right in the path of Mother Nature's destruction, and it absolutely did not happen. And let me give you a couple of other big ones that I think fall into the odds and ends category. How about this? In Philly, and this is huge. You know, we talk about, you see how the mob is portrayed, The Sopranos, I guess the biggest thing that people now refer to, but there's a zillion movies from The Godfather on down about mafiosos. And this was a big crackdown. The FBI arrested a crime boss they've been after for a while. His name's Joseph Lamghini, and 10 others were taken down. And they're saying that this is a group that was allegedly La Cosa Nostra, and that's a pretty big group. I mean, how many pizza parlors are they involved with? They're into everything. Tampering, extortion, the usual fare, right? Loan sharking, gambling, all that kind of stuff. I mean, this is old school. Secret ceremony, sworn blood oaths. Exactly. Bum, bum, bum. And this group goes so deep. This La Cosa Nostra, they've rounded up a ton of them, starting off at the beginning of the year in New England. Then they trickled down, and finally they're in Philly. And then they got some people in Los Angeles. And just like that dramatic music you heard, the life of the mobster has been glamorized or dramatized on the tube.
That's your town. What do you got to say for yourself?
Listen, I know nobody from La Cosa Nostra.
I don't know. That Philly town sounds kind of rough now.
Well, I think it is kind of rough that they had a stranglehold on.
So we don't have that up here. We don't have like the Swedish mafia or anything like that in Minneapolis.
Oh, come on. There, you know that there is somebody extorting somebody in Minneapolis.
Probably.
You cannot tell me. It's all goody two-shoes. Don't drink, don't smoke. What do you do?
The former governor is doing that.
Yeah, the former governor, Paul, who officially announces that he's running for president. So that, I'll tell you, Minnesota is the hotbed. There is a good odds and ends for you. Minnesota is a hotbed for politicians these days. You have Tim Pawlenty, who declares that, you know, he's officially running for the Republican nod for president. You have Michelle Bachmann, who really would like that as well. She's obviously on the Hill, too. And you have Al Franken, who hails back to the comedic days of Saturday Night, gets elected as a senator from Minnesota, and goes from, like I said, the extremes of comedy and the books that he had written to being a politician. And you think of Jesse Ventura, former governor of Minnesota. There are some crazy characters that emerge and end up really making some noise, I have to say, whether it's in Washington or whether it's in the state of Minnesota itself. All right, this is another very strange, odd thing, and it falls perfectly into this category. You might not have read about this because of all the other things that are going on, but there's this strange wheel. They're planning a 500-foot, $100 million Las Vegas Ferris wheel. What does a $100 million Ferris wheel look like? Yeah, they're going to, 500 foot, that's higher than they say the London Eye. You would have an unbelievable view of Sin City. They released details of the project. It's going to be across from the Mandalay Bay Hotel. So it's at the tail end of the strip. It would be, if you know anything about Vegas, when you fly in, it's right there on the other side. They say this company wants to create 400 over the next 2 years. So it's going to create jobs in Las Vegas, and they easily voted it in. In Vegas, of course, it's easy to get anything passed, right? The wheel's going to have an LED screen larger than a football field, 3 dozen gondolas, 22 passengers in each one, Crazy stuff. Crazy.
Food prices are spiraling out of control. In order to survive, you will soon need to produce some or all of your own food in your backyard or small farm. Many years ago, sought-after radio guest Marjorie Wildcraft and her family began working to find the easiest ways to grow food for the crisis we are now facing. Marjorie created a video that is the fastest way to learn how to grow food. You'll learn the most efficient gardening methods, myths and truths of orchards and edible landscaping, effective predator protection, and even home butchering. Everyone is talking about Marjorie's DVD, and it's highly recommended by Jim Rawls, Jack Spurko, and Bountiful Gardens. Read her free reports on how to have a green thumb, making free fertilizer, and answers the question, do you need a gun to garden? If you want the security, savings, and freedom of food self-reliance, buy Marjorie's DVD and get the free reports at backyardfoodproduction.com. Again, that's backyardfoodproduction.com.
Never buy home canning jar lids again. No kidding. When you buy Tadler reusable canning lids once, you'll never buy canning lids ever again. Safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways containing BPA. But Tadler reusable canning lids are guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning. Tadler lids are made with a USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, safe for direct food contact, and contain no BPA. Tadler lids are dishwasher-safe, usable with standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, are indefinitely reusable, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders at reusablecanninglids.com or call 1-877-747-2793, 877-747-2793. Call 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com for Tadler reusable canning lids, the original since 1976.
How well and how fast does Heart and Body Extract work to improve blood circulation? Listen.
My name is Ellis, and I am 66 years old, and I live in Jacksonville, Florida. 2 years ago, I was diagnosed as having clogged arteries. I had 70% blockage in one artery leading to my heart. They wanted me to go on Plavix, but I refused, knowing the negative side effects.
Heart and Body Extract is a unique balance, synergy, and proportion of herbs reaching from head to toe at maximum absorption around 95% at the cellular level.
Within the first month, I felt a dramatic difference. The heaviness in my legs was reduced, and within 2 months, I felt completely normal.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract. Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract. Call 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
What's in a date anyway? How about Joe Biden? Joe Biden telling donors to keep him in mind for 2016. That tops this edition of We Can Count. I was reading, I guess, Politico, where I saw that, and I thought, you've got to be kidding me. So Biden would be what? He would be 70. I guess he would be 70 in 2012. And if he were really serious for 2016, well, you do the math. And he hasn't ruled it out, apparently, running. That if his health was good, he would consider running. Oh, my. Succeeding President Obama in the White House. Okay, what do you think the chances are that Joe Biden in 2016 really has a shot at the White House? Not to burst his bubble, I'm just saying.
Just personal opinion here. I think there's a better chance you get Chelsea Clinton as the nominee over George or Joe Biden.
It's ridiculous. Oh, talk about delusions.
She's got a better chance, I think.
I think you're right. Talk about delusions of grandeur. I mean, that's just insanity. Joe, get a grip on reality. That's part of the Biden problem, or maybe not. He's so unaware of what's really happening. It's that whole foot and mouth disease that it just doesn't matter. That enough people around him say, yo, Joe, you got to run. You got to do it in 2016. If you're healthy, do it. Yeah, right. Okay, how about this? 5-4 decision from the Supreme Court in California. They now have decided, I am laughing because I don't actually think it's that funny, though. The court majority, the Supreme Court, says that overwhelmingly they can now release tens of thousands of prison inmates. Tens of thousand prison inmates. So 5-4. That's one of the largest prison release orders in our history. Justice Scalia says terrible things are sure to happen. Ooh, once you throw it out there, too, you can't reel it in. So justices upheld an order from a 3-judge panel in California that called for releasing the prisoners. You know how many? 38,000 to 46,000. So since then, the state's transferred about 9,000 state inmates to county jails. As a result, the total prison population is about 32,000 more than the capacity limit set by the panel. Justice Kennedy, speaking for the majority, said California's prisons had fallen short of minimum constitutional requirements because of overcrowding. As many as 200 prisoners may live in gymnasiums, 54 share a single toilet, all this other kind of stuff. I don't know. To me, very, very crazy that that's happening. And when you have the quote, terrible things are sure to happen, that just hanging out there. And then Justice Thomas agreeing with that comment. And you think of the prisoners being released. So what do those prisoners do? I don't like it. I'm telling you, I just don't like it. If I was living there, I would not be happy with that decision. Because trust me, if you dig a little deeper, it's not just going to be the surfacey, guys. I know it. It's not going to be that at all. And that's not good news in the Valley. That's not good news in Northern California either. All right, let's throw in a few other things. I love it when we mix it up during the We Can Count segment. So I happen to see this about housework being bad for both sexes. Oh, I couldn't agree more. There's nothing worse. It's the truth. I mean, who keeps up the house, though? What happens when you come home? You've been working all day long. Let's say you work a typical 8-hour day. And typically, as we've said, the average commute for most people is 45 minutes each way. And then you come home, you want to get something to eat. By the time you do all that nonsense, you are toast. But who's going to clean the toilet? Who's going to push the vacuum? What about the dusting? Even the cat is starting to sneeze because it's so dusty in the house. Who's going to do the laundry? For goodness sake, you have to have something to wear when you go to work, right? And what a study found out was that, not surprisingly, just by a little bit, 10% more, women did more of the housework. And that it actually made their blood boil. It wasn't good for them. It wasn't good for them to do the housework. When the men chipped in and did some of the housework, actually it was good for them, but not good for the men. So I think pretty much, and it's about a 10% margin in either direction, I think that pretty much what it says is men don't want to do the housework, and, hey, the women really aren't into it either, but somebody has to do it. The women get upset when they're stuck doing everything. And the men can earn a few brownie points if they do it, but they really don't want to do it. And it stresses everybody out. So we could have they didn't even have to do a survey. We could have told them that. Nobody wants to do the housework, especially when they're doing a full-time gig. People are working way too much in this country, and that's the deal. You don't have families where somebody's home with kids and somebody is working. Not very many families, if they can afford to do it, it's a great thing, I think, because then you don't have two people so physically exhausted they can't have any quality time with their children. I mean, where are the days of having quality time? Hurry, forget the word quality. Having any time where your eyeballs aren't falling down. because you just can barely keep them open. All right, how about this? Crime levels, they say, fell across the board last year with a multi-year downward trend of, check it out, 5.5% drop in the number of violent crimes, woohoo, in 2010, and a 2.8% decline in the number of property crimes. They say year-to-year changes that were released in numbers, of course, by the FBI, and these are just preliminary figures on crimes reported to police in 2010, also showed declines in all four categories of violent crime in the, you know, in the same year, last year. And property crime going down, I think, is good. That's remarkable, because if you think of where the economy is and people that are disillusioned and are doing without and what that ultimately can lead to, it's almost kind of puzzling, because you would think that crime would rise when you have a recession, but it hasn't happened. The most crime-prone population age group from late teens through the mid-20s has remained, the FBI says, relatively flat in recent years. So for whatever reason, hey, don't look a gift horse in the mouth. If that's the truth and that's where the numbers lie, I say bravo, that's a good thing. Why not? Why not? Doomsday. What happened? Over the weekend, everybody was talking about the fact that the world was going to blow up. This was the end of days, according to Harold Camping, the 89-year-old leader of a group out of California. There was billboards all over the place predicting the rapture was ahead, but it didn't work out. Camping has adjusted his figures to make sure everyone understands that what went wrong is that Judgment Day is actually October 21st, and that the failed prophecy wasn't, it was misunderstood, that really it should have been 5 months ahead and it was the start of it, whatever. I would say his credibility is a little bit dented. And sadly, there are a couple of people where they believed it and it caused death and serious injury to a few believers. There was a California woman. She was one of millions who heard his message. She became concerned that her daughters would suffer terribly in the apocalypse, so she forced her daughters, 11 and 14, to lie on a bed, cut their throats. This is not funny. With a box cutter. She then tried to kill herself, but police got to her first, and luckily all three survived, which is miraculous. And then there was an older man in Taiwan who killed himself ahead of the rapture by jumping out of a building. He heard that doomsday was imminent and had taken this to mean that something was going on because of the earthquakes and tsunamis. It was a warning sign. And then there's some unconfirmed reports of doomsday-related suicides. Wow. That's awful. Awful, awful. So now Camping has adjusted it to October 21st. Can you imagine? So we see a repeat of the same thing. How many people get sucked into it again? Like I said, I think the credibility has been dented. Any thoughts on the show? Shoot them to me at americatonight.net.
Oh, man. Talk radio?
Yes, talk radio.
So boring, man.
Okay.